Welcome to Valley Voices. Today's show features a conversation about grief with KDNK's news director, Raleigh Burley, Vivian Williams, Tina Olson, and Tina Rahoviak.
My name is Tina Rahoviak, and I am from Glenwood Springs.
My name is Tina Olson. I am a counselor in the Valley, a mental health counselor in the Valley.
And I'm Vivian Williams of Aspen, and I do special events and concierge work. The name of the chapter is Compassionate Friends, which is a national organization which did not exist in the Valley. And we together believe that there's a need, because there's more and more, unfortunately, families that are experiencing a loss of a child. And the closest chapter is in Grand Junction. So we felt that the Roaring Fork Valley was definitely a place that would benefit from a support group like this.
So you haven't begun yet. When's the first day that you start?
The first day is Tuesday, and 14th. November 14th. And it is from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Orchard Church in Carbondale. And then from that point, starting in December, we will meet every first Tuesday of the month at the same time, 6:30 to 7:30, at the Orchard as well.
Okay, so it'll be a monthly meeting.
Monthly meetings, right.
And the cost is free, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. Over the phone, we spoke about the price of mm-hmm. counseling and how it can be so high that a lot of people don't receive the support that they need. And I guess it's important, you know, at this point, to note that both you, Tina, and you, Vivian, have lost a child. So this group is very true to your heart. And I just want to know, what difference does it make to have other parents to talk to about this, people who are going through the same thing?
I feel, just from my own personal point of view, you feel very, like your situation is isolated. You feel alone. You feel like people don't understand your grief.
Mm-hmm. And by bringing together everyone who has experienced what is probably the most difficult type of grief, because you don't expect a child to go before you, and by having a support network of other people who share the same emotions and the, you know, the what ifs, what would my child be like now at any age? I mean, and we're accepting people to this meeting that have been pre-birth for miscarriages or whatever. I've experienced that as well. So I feel that not only I lost a three-year-old, then I lost a child immediately after to stillbirth. And it's the same whammy of emotions, whether you knew that child or a 30-year-old child who's, you know, had such a great future ahead of them. So the meetings are really designed that each parent can talk about their own loss, how it happened, what they're going through. And as much time goes by, you're not necessarily in a place of despair, because your life has gone on, but it's the what ifs, I think, that, you know, we can discuss, and the mm-hmm. feelings behind that, mm-hmm. which we will support each other. And we will also bring in speakers who talk about grief or different ways of coping with it.
And have you participated in a group like this before, Vivian?
Yes. When my daughter died, she died 4 days after Christmas 14 years ago. So she was 3. She would be 17 now. And there was a Compassionate Friends organization in New Hampshire, which is where she died. We were living in Vermont at the time. And I went to about 3 meetings, and when I came back to Aspen, which is where our home was, I immediately sought the same chapter, which I found was in Grand Junction. And back then, I thought about starting a group, but I was too fresh in my grief to have the energy to do something like that. So now I've met more and more people, unfortunately, who have gone through the same thing. And there are grief support groups. I'm not saying there's nowhere to turn in the Valley, but it's not geared specifically towards the loss of a child mm-hmm. when you're with the whole support group.
And if I can just kind of expand in general on the two things in life that we can't avoid are death and taxes, right? And so when we look at death, you know, our humanly expectation is that our children get to grow up and we get to watch them grow up and we get to see how their life unfolds and all the ups and downs of raising a child. And that's the joy of parenthood, right? But when our child dies, now we have an unnatural attitude about death. This is not how it's supposed to go. We're supposed to watch our child grow up and see the joy of their life. And when that doesn't get to happen, parents are robbed of an opportunity, and they don't often know where to put that. So their grief feels very different than a natural grief, than our grandparents who die after they've lived a full life. This is a very unnatural way of looking at death and experiencing death. As a counselor working with parents, I'm fortunately not a parent who's lost a child, but I see this pain, and I have encouraged this compassionate friends support group in the Valley, because Vivian's right. It's not that we don't have grief support groups in the Valley, but this is very unique and specific. And even myself as a counselor, when Vivian talks to Tina, I can't say the things that they can say to one another. I know that Tina's mentioned that somebody who's lost a child for 3 years said something to her that just touched at the very core of her heart that no one's ever said to her before, and it was very helpful and meaningful. Well, I can't provide that. And I think that other grief support groups, it's not that I haven't experienced death, but this is so unique and it's so unnatural and it's complicated that I think parents supporting one another is a very beautiful way of helping the healing process. And we like to use the word, we resolve our grief. There's really no end to this grief process. Look, Vivian, you know, lost her daughter 14 years ago. That's still very real to her, and it will be very real to her for the rest of her life. You know, Tina's a little newer. It's been 1 year for her. The Compassionate Friends really encourages the leadership of the group to be about 18 months out of their grief. Now let's think about why that is. Because it's like Tina said, she was way too fresh to come back to Aspen and start a group after she just buried her child. Like, it just can't happen. It's a lifetime of grieving. And it shifts and it changes and it feels different, but you will always have the sadness that you didn't get to experience what parents are supposed to experience, raising the life of their child.
And would you say for you personally, Viviana, that being a part of a group and being able to relate to people about their own losses has helped you in a way, like make sense of your own loss?
Oh, definitely. I was referred to people who lost children that I didn't know when it first happened. This is in New Hampshire. And we just sat for coffee and we bonded immediately and we shared our common experience. She would have remained a friend had I not moved back to Aspen, but I have since met people in the area who have lost a child, and then I immediately reach out to them because I feel that they need that type of compassion and that understanding, and not the constant, oh, I can't even imagine what you're going through. Well, I can, so I have gone to those people to reach out, and other people have reached out to me that know my story, and it's a different kind of support. And everybody grieves differently. They go through different pains, different memories, different experiences of how the child died. But just that common emotion of, you know, I can't believe this happened, and why did it happen, and what did I do wrong that could have fixed this or prevented it? And you can't do that. And as parents talk to each other, they support each other and realize, you know, it's not our fault. It's just, we were dealt the wrong set of cards or whatever you want to call it, but it's life and you have to get through it. And by seeking that organization that I did, you know, I didn't know anybody, but I was shocked that the room was full of people that had lost children. So that's why there is a need for it in this valley.
Maybe that gives you the sense that you're not so isolated.
Exactly.
Really, there are people who can understand, because not, like you were saying, Tina, not everyone who's experienced a death can understand the pain of losing a child. Mm-hmm. That's a different mm-hmm. experience altogether.
Mm-hmm. And I think people have really good intentions of expressing sympathy. You know, sympathy is that I can feel sorry for what's happened to you. Empathy is I can really relate and connect to that feeling. I have that same feeling for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people that have sympathy for a parent who's lost a child has really good intentions, but sometimes they say things that are not very helpful and actually have sort of a negative reaction. You know, parents will respond to something. This Compassionate Friends group also supports brothers and sisters who have lost a brother and sister. And part of that is because they're getting to be known as the forgotten mourner, because we don't think about siblings. So I can speak to a sibling that I lost a brother to crib death many years ago. And I remember years later, my parents talking about things that other people said to them, like sort of expressing sympathy, but it turned out to be really hurtful. We have 11 children in our family. And so this brother that died, people would say, thank God you have all those other children. And, you know, they're coming from a very meaningful place. But that was not helpful to my parents. Basically, you know, oh, you have 10 other children, but one child doesn't really matter. And my mother would say, they literally had to almost carry my dad out of the church from the funeral. That's how mournful and in the pain of his grief was so deep. And this is child, you know, number 6. And so I think that when parents come together, they can talk about that. And that's really helpful to process some of the grief stuff too, is like, oh, somebody said this to me this week, and, you know, oh, you know, you've got to move on. If Vivian wants to express her grief 14 years later, other parents can just so connect to that. But somebody who wants to be helpful might say, you know, gosh, you know, isn't it time to kind of move on? And I'm saying that because parents have actually given me that language. People have actually said those things to them. Like, I'm not just creating that. Those are things that people have actually said. And again, I think their hearts are in the right place. Their intentions are sincere. But this will give parents an opportunity to have those commonalities about what they go through from people that are well-intended.
This is a little bit on a different track, but I was speaking to a teacher from Ross Montessori about, they lost a teacher who was also a parent there in the school really randomly in an accident on I-70 earlier this year. And now they're celebrating for Day of the Dead. They're creating altars and they're really opening up the discussion about death and turning it also towards celebrating the life that there was. And just something that she said to me really sank in me, that as a community, they feel they've been hit really hard, but as a result of that, there's been so much bonding and love. So I see this group as a way where parents are filled with so much nurturing, loving energy, and when they can be together and they can understand each other and offer each other that sympathy and empathy, as you described, mm-hmm. it's a way of sharing the love that they have, that they're so full of, that they want mm-hmm. to give, and they can give it to each other and create a network mm-hmm. of support that way.
Yeah, and Viv, you have, you know, kind of said some really neat things about talking about your child. Mm-hmm. We want to keep that memory alive, right. And to celebrate that beautiful little person that, or whatever, bigger person or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to talk about that is a way to continue that celebration. And when you have people that are willing to listen to that and be a part of that, right, love can grow. That mm-hmm. can be a really yeah. beautiful place.
And it's easier to talk about my child with other people of experience, because I don't want to burden anyone and they will think I'm going to break down or can't mention her. And there are times when I will, especially around Christmas, because I lost her 4 days later. But I do want to keep her memory alive. I do now have 3 other children that we talk about Susie all the time. Her pictures are all around the house and her memory will never go away. But some people don't understand that. It's like, oh, it's taboo to talk about it. But in this kind of group, it's not to, you know, wallow in our sadness and our grief. It's to celebrate the life of each child, as short or as long as it was. But the unfortunate thing that it was cut too short. So I think that's really the mission of getting together, is to help each other also with the grief, but also with the celebration of their child.
This is Raleigh Burley, and you're listening to Valley Voices. Today's conversation is about grief and resources for navigating the loss of a child.
You know, and sometimes it's hard to get to that point for myself because it's so new. It's only been a year, which to me it seems like yesterday still. But when it's all so new, it's hard to get to the point of getting your head straight enough to celebrate their life. So I'm hoping by doing this, it's going to help me and others to get to the point where Vivian is.
And was it a son or a daughter?
A son.
A son.
He was just turned 30.
And what were some of the gifts that you feel he gave that are worth celebrating, some of the great contributions?
He was one of those people that were always there for you, no matter what. Drop everything to help you do anything.
That's great.
Always smiling, always had his arms wide open.
Something that you just said, Tina, is to get to the point where I am. And I'm not, you know, over it. I just a year ago went through PTSD. So that's something you can't anticipate, and you don't know when it's going to hit you. You don't know, the grief is obviously a wave that you're riding, and you don't know when it's going to return in its ugly form, where you just feel like you can't get out of bed and you can't cope with other people and you can't, you know, do your daily functions. So time is, you know, a funny thing. You can't control when those emotions are going to hit you. And thankfully, I met Tina through the Hope Center and when I was at my lowest. And
me as well.
Yeah, and I met...
We're talking Tina.
Tina Olson I met as a counselor.
She was the lifesaver.
And I met Tina through Tina. And it, you know, saved me, got me through it, and made me more ambitious to get this ball rolling, to get this chapter put together.
I do believe that with grief, time is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's just a roller coaster of experiences. About 3 years ago, my sister was in a car accident with her two girls, young adult girls who were both pregnant. And both of those girls didn't survive the accident, and they lost their unborn children. And when I think about what my sister goes through on a daily basis to survive, you know, bearing four souls like that, she is so inspirational to me. You know, how do you even overcome? How do you bear this unbearable pain? And I really appreciate what Vivian just said about, you know, the Compassionate Friends is not, let's all get together and wallow in our pain, and not, you know, the focus is not on just this miserable thing that happened to us, but it's stories like when I think of my sister is, wow, how do you have even a minute amount of resiliency to overcome the unnatural, the most painful experience of your life, and still do what Vivian said, function on a daily basis? I think I asked both of these beautiful women here, what are your options? What are your options when you bury a child? You have to either decide that you're going to continue to live, or you just curl up. And neither one of them chose to do that. There's a certain amount of resiliency that they were able to tap into to keep their feet moving one step in front of the other. And I think that's a very beautiful thing.
But thanks to you.
Well, right, you know, that's support.
I wasn't there at the beginning.
No, but you reached out. You know what, Tina? You had enough in you to know that you needed to reach out.
Right.
And that's what I love about this group coming into the Valley. We do have a lot of grief support here, but this is unique. And what a beautiful thing. You know, if she knew about the Compassionate Friends and if she knew where the leadership was,
right,
she could make that contact. And I think it's a lot easier to reach out to somebody as a parent than it is like a counselor like myself. And I do believe that what you touched on earlier is expense can be a barrier for people to reach out. And I think that's a terribly sad thing. It's understandable. But, you know, if somebody thinks they have to pay $100 to reach out for support and they can't do it, you know, where do they go? What do they do? And so I am so thrilled that we're bringing this to the Valley, that these ladies got behind it and pulled it all together. and that, you know, we really like to get the word out, you know, thanks to Katie and Kay that we can be here and talk about this, because we really need to get the word out through the whole valley. This is not specific to any community alone. That's why they chose to call it the Compassionate Friends of the Roaring Fork Valley. This whole valley has been hit. In the few years that I've been here, I've been here 7 years, and I've seen it over and over and over again. And I'm just almost shocked. Like Vivian said, like she goes to this meeting and it's packed full of parents who have lost children. And yet at the same time, if Tina hadn't reached out, she felt very alone. And I don't mean to speak for you, but
no,
you know,
right.
You just felt so alone in that.
Yes, I did. And the great thing about this, how we're feeling, is all of those parents out there that have lost children and grandparents that have lost grandchildren and siblings mm-hmm. that have lost siblings need to know that they're not alone at all. Mm-hmm. They're not alone. As much as they're going to feel like they're alone, they're not, because there's so many more of us out here. And for all of us to get together and help each other, I think, is going to be huge.
I want to commend your courage, Tina. You're the one that called me and said that you would like to talk about this. And I think what you just said speaks to really your intention there. You know, there's probably people out there who feel a loneliness and don't know where to go. So if this could reach them, then they know they have a group.
Thank you. The other thing the chapter's starting to do, and that will grow as the chapter grows, is they're going to put together a grief library with books. The Compassionate Friends has a lot of handouts and information on grief. There will be two benefits that I see to the group in terms of supporting their grief. One is just conversation, like what we're having today, and that they'll have in those meetings. And the other one is sometimes you don't have the language, and you might see something on a written word, written piece of paper, and you'll go, oh my gosh, I so connect with that. That makes so much sense to me. I don't think that reading is easy to do right away, and I think, you know, Tina's a year out, and I think it's still hard for her to read. But there are some really great literature, tremendously helpful literature, on grief in general, and specific grief to when a child dies. And so, you know, that's something to put out there too, is that even if somebody can't come to a meeting because they don't feel emotionally strong enough to do that, I would just really want them to be in contact with Vivian, who's the chapter leader, because she can offer some of that. And maybe that would be how we can reach someone as well. If we just send them, here's a really great book, if you want to start with that and, you know, build yourself into the community. You know, like Vivian said, everybody grieves in a different way, and there's no right or wrong way. The only right way is the way that you choose to do it that's helpful to you. And so, you know, if somebody would prefer to read something first and kind of build up their, what, resiliency or whatever that is, information, and then come to the group after that, you know, Vivian's put her contact information out there. There's an email, there's a phone number, there's a Facebook page. So there's a lot of ways that we really want parents to reach out. And if they're not ready for the meeting, we're so okay with that. But just know that parents are out there. Vivian's more than happy to send information.
The email address is tcfrfv for the Compassionate Friends Roaring Fork Valley @gmail.com. And the info line or telephone line, which actually rings in my home and I'll respond to, is 970-340-5071. And as soon as the Facebook page is up, it'll be the Compassionate Friends of the Roaring Fork Valley.
Okay.
There is currently a national website for Compassionate Friends, and that is compassionatefriends.org.
Meeting
Tuesday, November 14th, 6:30 to 7:30 at the Orchard in Carbondale.
Well, thank you all so much for joining me and for sharing about this.
Absolutely.
Means a lot.
Thank you for
having us. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to Valley Voices on KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.